You're listening to City Church Long Beach Sermons. Visit us at citychurchlongbeach.org.
Morning, friends. It is so good to be with all of you. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Brenna Rubio. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm one of the co-pastors here at City Church of Long Beach. As we start out today, I just want to recognize it's a complicated day for some of us. It is a day that reminds us to think of family with all of the layers and the connections and the ties and sometimes the twists and turns and even knots that that brings. And so I just want to recognize there may be a diversity of feelings and emotions that people are bringing into this room today. Some of us are experiencing a lot of joy and gratitude today as we think of our families and the adults who have poured into us, the people who have shown us just a glimpse of the incredible love that God, our parent, has for us. Others of us are feeling pain or sadness or loss, confusion for a whole bunch of possible reasons. And just a reminder today that all of these are welcome here. All of these are human emotions. All of these are cared for by God. And you have space to be you in whatever version you are coming in today. And we are glad that we get to experience family here together as we try and create that. Because, you know, here at City Church of Long Beach, we do our best to be a radically welcoming community or family on the journey towards Jesus, joining him in the renewal of all things. And the way that we show each other care and love is part of that. So thanks for being here. Thanks for being a little part of that effort to be community that we are doing today. We love our kids here at City Church, and I know we've got at least a good handful of them here with us this morning, our kids and our youth. And so we would love to pray for them. I think our friend Charmaine, who's going to be with the kids today, has agreed to come up and help pray for our kids. So would you welcome Charmaine with me?
Let's pray. Dear God, thanks so much for our kids. Thank you that they bring us joy in unexpected ways. Bless their time today and bless their week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, so kids who are elementary school, if you want to go with Charmaine, and then any of our middle and high schoolers who want to head out with Billy and Jonah, you guys are going to have a great time too. Would you welcome our other co-pastor, Bill?
Thanks, Brenna Rubio. It is good to be here today. So my name is Bill White, pronouns he, him, and it's really good to be with folks today around City Church. We are in a sermon series called the Therapist Series. There are a lot of therapists around City Church, and so we thought, why not lean into the wisdom of some of our therapists as we go through Scripture and try to learn the ways of Jesus? And so we're in an 8-week series or something like that, listening into different therapists today. So if you would welcome with me our co-preacher for today, Byron K. Bush, is coming on down. So those of you who know Byron know that Byron is not a small personality. So a lot of times people pray for the for whoever's preaching with me, but today I ask you to pray for me, because who knows where this could actually go.
Good morning.
Byron, so you're a counselor there, like, how do you think of yourself?
I am not a therapist. So I'm a school counselor. I've been a school counselor for this is my 30th school year as a school counselor.
He started when he was 9.
Yeah. No, we're the same age.
We are the same age, yeah. Which is funny. So, all right, so you're a school, what do you have to do to be a school counselor?
So I have my undergraduate was in applied psychology, and then my master's degree is in educational psychology, and I have a PPS credential. So I can do anywhere from elementary to junior college.
Okay, all right, so, and you've been doing this for
30 years. I have two more to go.
Okay. All
right. 4 semesters and I'm out. 4 semesters and 4 weeks.
I mean, not that you're looking forward to that.
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. And the last 24 years or something like that?
I've been middle school.
Middle school.
Yeah, I did high school for 2 years, elementary for 4 years, and then middle school the last 24 years.
And that's because God's favorite people
are in the middle. I'm a middle child, so this is like the right place for me.
Do you view yourself as a middle schooler at heart?
No, I'm a high schooler at heart.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right. And what's the difference?
Middle schoolers are, if you live with one, God bless you, they are terrible beasts. They are. It's that you're in that part of life, and thank God we've all made it through it, where you just don't know whether you're coming or going or up or down, and every day changes, and minute by minute and second by second, you can be a completely different person.
So you keep trying on different faces to see which one you are.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And so, all right.
But it's kind of fun that way, because you never know who's going to walk in, or even though it looks like the same person I talked to yesterday morning or this morning,
totally different.
It could be totally different.
Totally different. Yeah. All right.
It's hysterical.
All right. And how long have you been around City Church?
4 years. We came 2020, I think. Yeah. So
wow.
4 years. No.
Did you come before the pandemic?
No, we came during when we were outside, which I love being outside. I thought that was so fun.
We still have outdoor seating. In fact, there are people sitting out
on
there
the
today.
Patio. Thank you. They're chit-chatting.
Yeah. They're chatting. They're not listening to me.
Paying no attention.
I don't know why they're not listening to me. Hey, Christian, I'm over here. Hi. Yeah, there you go. Now he's listening to me. There you go.
Oh, hey, Christian. Yeah. I haven't seen him forever.
I know. So great, right? Patio seating. It's a thing. Normally, we don't call him out, but Christian's a friend of mine. And he actually just went back to chatting. I love that. It actually makes me happy.
Not paying any attention.
That's so good.
I love it. That's
so,
middle school.
So today, we are looking at the book of Proverbs. And, the last few weeks, we've wrestled with various kind of deep themes around, like, loss and anger and how do you do the work of internal growth, various things like this, right? Today is more kind of basic wisdom for life.
Yeah.
Like if you were to tell a junior high kid how to do something, like what would that look like for the church, right? Because in some ways the book of Proverbs is written for all of us as if we were junior high kids who actually really need some help, because I think all of us
really need help. As adults,
yeah,
yes,
right. So we need it. So that's what we're looking at today, and we're looking at some different verses from the book of Proverbs that are just kind of the practical wisdom for life. And so, if you would welcome our friend Michaela Brabe, who's going to read scripture for us today, come on down. And we stand typically around City Church as scripture's read. Thank you, Michaela. There you go.
Those who bless their neighbor with a loud voice earlier in the morning shall be counted as cursing. Proverbs 27:14.
People of God, this is the word of God.
Thanks be God.
All right. You didn't know that one was in there, did you? Hold on. Put that up again. Throw that up there. Those who bless their neighbor with a loud voice early in the morning shall be counted as cursing. I mean, this is the beauty of the book of Proverbs, right? It just, like, throws down.
It's hysterical.
Boom.
When I was doing my due diligence for today, I, Googled Proverbs thinking that they were just going to pop up and it was going to be easy. And, like, that one did pop up. I'm like, I don't know what the hell that means. Like, what is that? What does that mean? But that's why we have...
He said it, not
a
me.
A learned Bill to help explain this.
I have a way to explain this verse. All right, so blessed are those, those who rise early in the morning and bless their neighbor in a loud voice shall be counted as cursing. Tell us a story about what that verse means. Because I have a feeling, as a junior high counselor, you have experienced this.
So as when I think about this verse, what I came up with is, like, when I get to work, I like to, unpack and get myself together before, I deal with the masses. And there are times when people, have met me at my car.
In the parking lot?
In the parking lot, as I'm just, opening my trunk, getting my stuff together, and walking in, and they start talking to me. And I'm just like, why are you talking to me? And, once it was a parent. I mean, normally it's a coworker, a teacher, or somebody from the office.
But
once it was a parent, and I'm just like, is that me? That's not me, is it? No. And they wanted to talk all the way into my office as I'm putting my stuff down, putting stuff in my refrigerator, making coffee, and I just had to keep from rolling my eyes so hard. But then I'm like, oh yeah, you're cursed. Like, you are cursed. You are cursed. Because that was so uncool.
So if Fritz got up early in the morning.
And he does.
He's an early riser.
He gets up early.
And he finds this new great worship song. And he just decides to blast that.
Yeah, cursed. Cursed.
So it's this picture, right? The context matters, right? That I mean, so often as Christians, we think like, oh, you know, bless the Lord, or I want to share this scripture verse with you, or I want to share what God is saying to me. Like, and all of that is so good. And we, like, yes.
But not first thing.
But not before coffee.
Yeah.
Right? But I mean, but again, it's, Sometimes people have shared with me that the directness of some of my questions can be unnerving in various social settings.
Yeah, I can see that.
Where people literally will say, I was at a potluck brunch, and we're all standing in line to go through, and I meet a guy I've never met before, and I asked him the question, like, we talked for like 30 seconds, like, oh my gosh, do you do therapy? And the person behind me like slaps me on the head.
Don't ask
and like, you cannot ask that question. And I forget, right? That I actually cannot ask that question. Like that's not a blessing.
Yeah.
Like they're
extroverts, like true extroverts are a wonder. True extroverts. I pretend to be an extrovert.
Yeah, I think there's a way that this plays into introverts. I haven't found it out yet, no. But I'm sure there is.
Yeah,
we'll come for you. We'll come for you at some point. But the idea again here is practical wisdom. Like, remember your context. Remember who you're talking to. Is this appropriate? I mean, think about how Brenna opened up the service today, right? Saying, hey, this is a lovely day full of joy, but it can also be complicated. In fact, we had a dear friend of ours this week say to us, they don't live in Long Beach. They don't go to City Church. She says, you know, I was so grateful that City Church posted what Brenna shared today. And it gave me so much permission. I'm not going to my church tomorrow because they have no nuance. They don't understand what it's like to be infertile. Wow. And what a painful day this can be. Because again, context matters, right? And I think in some ways that's what this verse is saying. So another verse. So very beginning where the book of Proverbs is being set up as the context for wisdom. And it says simply this in Proverbs 1:7. Fools despise wisdom. Like, we just, you know, we don't want it. And I just wonder if you have had experiences. I'm sure you dispense a lot of wisdom. Mm. Do you ever have people come back and say, Mr. Bush, I wished I'd listened to you?
Yes. Which, and it's sweet when they do come back. Because I worked at one middle school for 17 years, so I saw the same families, you know, come through. Mm-hmm. And so 7 years ago, I got moved. And so I have new families, but still people from the neighborhood come to my school. And so they have siblings that, you know, are older. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, my God, or parents. Actually, I have at least 6 kids at my school now. I was their parents' counselor, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
But last year at graduation, I was at promotions, not graduation, promotion. I was walking up to the stage about to start, and this man comes charging at me. And, you know, we're all on like a little orange alert nowadays. And so I was like, I didn't know what he was about. And so, but then as he got closer, I kind of recognize him, but this is like a grown man. And so he screams my name and does like this. And I'm like, okay, it must be okay. And so...
one of those.
So, yes.
An extrovert,
so I hugged him back.
Probably an extrovert.
And so then, like, as we broke, he was like, don't you remember me? And I'm like, no, you're a grown... I mean, he was as big as me and with a beard. And so when he introduced... That's my timer. Sorry. time to take drops. But when he introduced himself, I'm like, oh my God, I totally remember you and your brother, Sequoia, this kid with Sky. And so he started to apologize and say, oh my God, I can't, after we figured out why he was there, his niece was graduating or promoting. And, but he went on to tell me how he was doing and like how much he's grown and been successful. And I was like, God, you were such a punk in junior high school. you know, and he's, you know, telling me like, yeah, I got to high school and everything I was doing didn't work, you know, so everything that you had said and all the teachers had been saying, like he realized like, oh yeah, you guys were telling me the truth. And so by 10th grade, he's figuring it out. And so now he's 28, 29. And so it was really rewarding. And you know, there's like 1,000 people watching this as we're in front of promotion, but it was very sweet. So yeah, they do come back. Run into them at the mall and grocery store, and
there's a sense in which, right, they can recognize later, like, oh, that was wisdom.
Yes, but in its moment, it is not wisdom. It is.
It's inconvenient.
It's inconvenient and it's uncomfortable, and they don't want to hear it. Generally speaking,
is that does that strike anyone as like, oh, it's inconvenient, it's uncomfortable, and you don't want to hear it? Do you ever feel that? Right? Do you ever feel like, I mean, if you're going to try to follow Jesus, you are going to be inconvenienced.
Yes.
You are going to be uncomfortable. And you are not going to want to hear it. And the temptation in us is to despise wisdom. And instead to prioritize comfort, convenience, expediency, pleasure. The easy solutions, right? This is the way that our worst parts work, right? They want the path of least resistance. And the path of Jesus it's a path of sacrifice. It's not the path of sacrificing who you are. So Byron, like, your personality is not a problem. No. You don't need to follow Jesus when he says, you know, deny yourself and follow me. He's not saying don't be sassy.
That is not part of my descriptor.
Right? So he's not saying don't be sassy. He's saying don't be selfish.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is different.
And I'm guessing you, like, I see you leaning into your sassiness, which is a gift. But I bet there are times when you lean into your selfishness and it's not a gift.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Nothing is coming to mind right now. You know, but I also think that there's a part of selfishness that is important for us to be selfish with ourselves and to take care of yourself.
Yeah, self-care, right?
And self-care is a part of selfishness.
That's part of wisdom,
right,
is self-care.
Like knowing that I cannot do that. I cannot say yes to everybody.
Yes.
And I cannot always do what people need me to do, because then I'm going to suffer.
And that's wisdom. And you actually see all through the book of Proverbs, there are all kinds of ways that the book of Proverbs encourages people to set boundaries.
Yeah.
Right? And Jesus himself, right? If you track through, particularly if you look at the Gospel of Mark, there are multiple times when Jesus says no. When people ask things of him and he says, no. I know you want me to go back here, but that's not why I came. I'm going over here. He sets boundaries because that's what wisdom is. And yet he always did without selfishness. And many times we do things where it's all about self-gratification as opposed to self-care.
Yes.
And and wisdom is being able to distinguish the two of those and walking in that. So the next verse for us today comes from Proverbs 15:1. Harsh words stir up anger.
Tell me about it.
So, ever seen a school fight?
Oh my God, where's my phone? Videos.
No, do no, not show the
no,
video.
No, I'm just kidding. It's convenient sometime for when we're doing the.
So harsh words stir up anger. Like, I mean, tell us what's that like? Because again, in the book of Proverbs, we're not trying to like do deep word studies and nuance. It's like, no, this is practical wisdom. This is why we brought in an expert in junior high kids, because that's what Proverbs is, right? So what does it look like? And then what does it look like for junior high kids? And then what does it look like for us?
With I harsh mean, words? In practicality for me in working, like harsh words stir up anger.
Stir up anger, yeah.
Is, you know, kids bump into each other, kids, you know, do the wrong thing, and other kids, like, react so, like, ugh, you know, and we're sitting in my office, and I'm just like, yeah, she said it wrong, but how you responded was so feral, like, so just like, ugh, you know, like, you know, so yeah, she said this, she meant this, she said this, but you went here. And like you might have even gotten physical or, so just trying to get kids to be kinder with their words and.
How do you do that?
Oh, I mean, I model it. I mean, I apologize 100 times a day to kids.
You know, really?
I mean, I bump into them, I say the wrong thing, but I'm constantly, and I try to get kids to realize, apologizing does not diminish you. You know, it does not take anything away from who you are to apologize to somebody. And they have some, you can say my bad, which is not like, it's an apology for them.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're like, I apologize, I throw myself at your feet, and I'm groveling for your forgiveness. Just, if you say my bad and keep stepping, they're going to keep stepping too, you know? And they don't get that. And you know, how many times have we had fights where a kid bumped into somebody and the other kid just turns around and is on? And I said, well, did you apologize? When it was an accident. Did you apologize? Well, no, I didn't have a chance to. I'm like, how long does it take to say, oh, my bad, I'm sorry, you know, before that kid realizes, that, you know, hey, you offended me. I'm like, you're not mad, you're offended or your feelings are hurt or you feel embarrassed because somebody saw that and you just lash out instead of giving that kid a beat to say, oh, I'm sorry, you know.
So the second half of that is, it says this. Again, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle word turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger.
And that is absolutely true.
And so the gentle word is the word of apology.
Yes.
Of saying, oh, my bad.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mm. I didn't mean to do that. Mm. And it might not even be true, but you can say it. And I tell them that. It's like, you know, just say it. Oh, that was an accident. But give some, yeah. And benefit of the doubt, trying to get kids to understand benefit of the doubt is just, it's another level. And some of them really do get it. And so I've seen kids, the lights flick on, they're like, oh, that's what you mean. I'm like, yes, the benefit of the doubt. Don't assume that somebody is coming for you. Like, this is middle school, it's not prison. It's middle school.
Not yet.
Well.
Sorry. Sorry. But this is where we live, right? Like, how many of us, you know, she meant this. How'd you do that?
She
said this.
But she meant this.
And then.
You know, but her tone was off.
But then
the
you
tone,
did.
But you went here.
You went here, right, okay. But how, is that us? Right? You meant this, but you said this. And then, you know, your friend, your partner, your kid. You stir up so much harshness as opposed to doing that inner work. Just,
That is my phone. I take drops at a certain time, and so time for drops.
Time's up. That's awesome. But how many of us like need to, it's that inner journey that we've really been talking about practically for the last 4 or 5 weeks about embracing loss, naming anger, learning how to go on the inner journey, in order to be transformed into who Christ originally called us to be, so that we can actually do a lot of this practical stuff and the practical tools of saying, oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Practical tools of like giving someone the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
The practical tools of recognizing context, these sorts of things. So, which leads into our next verse, which is all about feedback, and that feedback is actually how human beings grow. So this is from Proverbs 12. And I mean, Proverbs is fairly direct, which I appreciate, but it says, whoever hates correction is stupid.
I did not find that verse, at least written that way.
I mean, it's pretty blunt, but it's this idea of like, how do you receive feedback? So I'll tell you a little story, and then I'll ask about junior high kids. But so on my Sabbath day, which is Saturday for me, I'll read back through my old journals and from years ago to kind of reflect on what God's been teaching me. So yesterday I was reading back from spring of 2004. I read from like 10 years and 20 years and 30 years ago back in my journal to see, you know,
that's amazing that you still have that stuff.
Yeah,
well, I mean, that's really kind of cool.
I have a terrible memory, so I write it down because otherwise I forget. So my kids are little, they're 2 and 4, and I'm journaling about how hard it is to apologize. And
to kids or just in general?
Particularly to my children.
Oh.
So my wife, who's an awesome mom, would very graciously, what does the verse say? Give a little correction. She'd say, hey, that was a pretty strong reaction.
2 and 4.
Yeah, your kids are 2 and 4. Like, you kind of went hard there. And it was so hard for me to apologize to the kids. I mean, they're 2 and 4. Like, what are they going to do, hold it against me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, but you said it earlier that to apologize doesn't
diminish you.
Doesn't diminish you.
No.
But in my world, it did. So, and I was reflecting this morning as I was thinking about this, that it wasn't until 2004 that my father ever apologized to me.
Wow.
It was the same year, it was later that year, when my dad gave me the first apology I'd ever heard from him.
Wow.
And so I realized, like, oh, I mean, today, of course, I didn't put any of that together then. I was starting to do therapy, and so that was part of what helped with my relationship with my dad and set up this key conversation. But so my wife would just so graciously say, hey, that was kind of hard. And it was like death to me every time. Mm. And so we started practicing, right? I mean, by we, I mean me. She typically would not overreact. So, and I would just do what you said. Like, I just would apologize every day to the kids. Because every day, you know, harsh words are stirring up anger, and I'm missing context, all these things, right? And now, I think, Kate, you would probably say I'm decent at apologizing, right? So now, like, 20 years in.
There you go. You got it.
20 years of practice. But it's... But I just realized that whoever hates correction is stupid. I could be my dad now, who had never apologized to his kids.
Wow.
Right? I was 30, it was 2004, so I was 36 years old before my dad issued his first apology to me.
Wow.
So, but again, it's like, thank God for Katie correcting me and inviting me on this journey. Thank God also for my dad, who started going on his own journey with actually in therapy and kind of with God. He started a spiritual journey around the same time and started realizing he needed to own some stuff. But that, I think that's what I'm just sort of going on, but that's what I see here. And so I assume you see this sort of practical things with kids or staff or yourself.
The parents. Parents of kids don't want correction with their kids. And so happy Mother's Day, everybody. But, you know, there's a time when, you know, like I said, I've seen families, so like you have six kids and you live in the same house, so they all come to my school. So I know your family, which, and right. knowing kids, you can get a very good idea of how they're being raised or what their values are, what the family values are, and you know, what's going right and what's going wrong. And so there are times when I've, you know, said gently to parents, like, you have to make some changes because your kids are behaving this way because of what they're getting from you, which does not always go over well.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense of what makes it go over better versus what makes it go over worse, either in you or in them or in the communication?
It's generally them if they're open to,
right.
It depends on their desperation level. Like, how desperate are they that their kids are, you know, driving them crazy too, and that they're ready to make
yep.
some changes,
yep.
and then that helps.
Yeah. So there's desperation, there's openness.
And the openness, right.
The combination.
And so, like, and parents come in all the time, and they're, like, desperate because the kids might be fine at school, but they're crazy at home, which I'm like, not us. but they want help. They need help. And so in that, it's nice because then I can just say, well, you know, have you tried this? Have you tried this? Because generally, human beings and animals, we get away with whatever we can get away with. You know, we all do. Mm-hmm. I speed every day. But if I got a ticket every time I sped, I would not speed. And so, in trying to get parents to understand that every time you let whatever that is, you let your kid get away with it, it's just reinforcing this bad behavior. And so, I know it's hard to correct all the time, but if you don't correct it, it's just going to spin out of control. And I mean, I remember when I was an elementary school counselor, and I told this mom, I'm like, he's five, and he is running your household. You do everything that this little kid is telling you to do. Like, you're running on his schedule. That's crazy. Like, what are you going to do when he's 15 or 18? And she looked at me like I was crazy for, you know, being honest with her, which at this point, well, not then, but now, I love being this age with these parents who are young enough to be my kids. And and I'm just like, this is the truth. You might not want to hear this, but this, you need to make some changes.
Yeah.
Because your kid is only going to get worse if you don't correct.
Yeah.
You know, as harsh and hard as that is, and it's going to be hard on you, it's hard on them, but ultimately you'll all be better off. So it's, yeah.
Yeah. Last verse for us comes from Proverbs 4:23. And the core of it is this: guard your heart. Right? So there's so much in Proverbs that's very practical about correction and context and apologizing, you know, what words mm-hmm. you use. And then there are a few places in there that kind of go take the deep dive and talk about guarding your heart. And it goes on and says this: guard your heart, for everything we do flows from it. And there's a sense that there's a soul inside,
mm-hmm.
right? And if we let it out too easily, it can get really wounded.
Yeah. And when you do that as a little kid, and you get wounded over and over again,
yeah.
that's who you grow up to be,
yeah.
a wounded
yeah.
adult.
Yeah.
And we all know those people.
We all are those people.
Well, that's so true.
right? And so what do you do? Like, well, where do you see this? And any practical gleanings for us now? So first off, where do you see this? And second off, like, we'll think through about what that might look like for us now.
So I remember once, and it was many, many years ago, this girl came in, seventh or eighth grade, came in crying, just desperate, crying, because she broke up with her boyfriend. And so, you know, okay. And so, but for 2 hours, I'm like, you know, practically crying with her and just like, oh my God, this is just so terrible for you. And so 2 hours in, I think to ask her, well, how long were you together? This was a Tuesday. Well, we got together on Friday. And like it changed, like my whole, like, like I had like a whole conversation in my head, like, oh my God. It's like I spent 2 hours crying and helping you with Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's 5 days. You know, but this was a long time ago. So now I know to ask up front.
Before you spend 2 hours
Before
crying.
Before I spend 2 hours on you, like, how long has this been relationship been going on? Because my time is equivalent to like how long you were together. So, but yeah.
So she didn't guard her heart.
She did not guard her heart. And, you know, some of the best conversations I have with kids, boys and girls, about relationships, because some of them are, they want to be in a relationship. And I tell them all the time, like, you're in a ton of relationships, but you don't have to be in this heart-to-heart relationship right now. And when you do break up on a Tuesday, you don't need to be in a new relationship on Friday or Thursday of the same week. Like, you can, you know, be a little more judicious, be a little more discerning, and not so needy about, because they're all talking, we're all talking about them because, you know, they go from this boy to this boy to this boy to this boy. And the kids are talking about it, but we talk about it too, because I get concerned for those kids because they're gonna grow up thinking that I have to have that, otherwise I'm not complete, because I need, you know, to have this person holding on to me, bringing me this or showing me this kind of affection to validate who they are. And I'm like, you are enough. You don't have to have that somebody else to lean on to prop you up.
And I think I want to do it this way. So this, again, the book of Proverbs is practical wisdom for junior high kids like us, right? And so when it comes to guarding your heart, the reason why we can and we should is simply what you just heard. And so I want you to hear, listen in, and see if you can hear the whisper from God. Tell us again, you are enough.
You are enough. You are enough.
What if that was God speaking? I mean, I know it's Byron. I think God's sassy too sometimes, so. But I think that's God speaking. Because this is us. We're struggling with guarding our hearts. Each of us in different ways right now. In relationships or families or addictions or just self-gratification or the silly stuff we put on social media that is really kind of private and we shouldn't have put that out there.
Yeah. There's no proverbs about social media.
The whole thing.
It's like a whole
is about
new
social media. But again, just tell us just a couple more times and let us because this is what Jesus is saying. Right? Jesus is saying, I see you. You're made in my image.
Bill, you are enough. And I say that to kids, and like I get choked up when I look at them and I, you know, connect and tell them that you are enough. You're good. You know, you got some stuff to fix, but we all do. You know, you are enough. You're good.
Yeah.
You're great.
Yeah. It's God's blessing. I'd like to invite up Byron's good friend, Rod.